Happy Bitcoin Wednesday, freaks. It's your host, Odell, here for another Sill Dispatch, the show focused on actionable Bitcoin and freedom tech discussion. Got a great show lined up for you, freaks. But before we get there, real quick, the current time is Wednesday, July 8th at 1940 UTC. You guys will be listening to this in a couple hours. Just do a quick cleanup. No edit. In Bitcoin time, the current block height is 957,218. The current price is $62,190. And the sats per dollar is 1,608 sats per dollar. Kind of a weird climate there on the Bitcoin price side. But Bitcoin is incredibly interesting. The fundamentals remain bullish as ever. And we keep grinding. We keep grinding. Freaks, as always, Dispatch. No ads or sponsors. I only do shows when I think it'll be interesting to you guys. Not beholden to the schedule of a sponsor that wants three shows a week or whatnot and fills your feed with noise. But that means that it's supported purely by viewers like you with Bitcoin donations. All relevant links are SillDispatch.com for that. Our top two zaps of last week were Ride or Die Freak, Mav21 with 10,000 sats. He said, great rip. And PGS Design, also with 10,000 sats, said, killing it, exclamation point. Thank you, freaks, for supporting the show. As always, if you can't spare your scarce sats, I know money's tight right now. I know we're all poor as hell. Share with your friends and family. Open up your friend's app, podcast app. Search Sill Dispatch. Press the subscribe button. They won't know what hit them. They'll just get pure signal delivered directly into their phone. And then they'll either hate me or love me. So do that for the show. Thank you, guys. Anyway, freaks, I got a return guest, good friend here. We are talking about Bitcoin today. We have Seth for Privacy here. How's it going, Seth?
It is good to be back, man. It's been a week. The highs, the lows. It's been good.
What's your official title at Cake Wallet? COO? Chief Operating Officer?
Yep. Yeah.
Chief Operating Officer at Cake Wallet. They got a new app out. That is a different company, but similar team, called Radar. What Indeed. Is Radar?
Indeed, yeah. So we have kicked off a completely new thing, shifted focus. Cake Wallet obviously remains the focus of Cake Wallet and the Cake Wallet team. Leadership team is the same, but the actual team building them will be different. Just initially to get right off the ground, we built it with the same team that's already been killing it at Cake Wallet. So Radar... Like the idea is quite straightforward. We just always kind of accepted that when we want to message somebody privately that lives in one place, when we want to send sats, when we want to send Bitcoin, when we want to send any amount of money, we have to go outside of that to send it, or we have to rely on some trusted third party. Like we're using a Facebook Messenger and Facebook Pay, or we're using WeChat and WePay, or all of these different options that...
Are you a WeChat user?
I'm not, no. I'm
Sorry.
Not. I've had reason to get on there, and I have avoided it like the plague so far. So I'm trying to stay out of it as best I can these days. But yeah, the goal is really unifying those things, bringing the conversations you already have into a world where you can send Bitcoin to those people that you already connect with. So Radar is built on top of Signal's protocol and its network. So your contacts actually come with you. All your chats come with you. Your account comes with you, username, et cetera. But anybody who joins Radar as well, you get to send and receive Bitcoin back and forth seamlessly at a tap, instant. It's really kind of stupid simple in execution, but the vision and the goal is getting this far, far beyond the regular Bitcoin wallet user.
Okay, so high level, first of all, I've been testing Radar for a few weeks now. I love Signal. Signal is I run most of my personal and professional life through Signal. 99% of my communications is through Signal. It's got really strong privacy and security guarantees, but also has a very good UX. It's relatively easy to use. As the freaks know in the past, I often brag about the fact that my 90-plus-year-old grandmother uses Signal because it's the only way she gets baby photos. So I feel like that's a pretty high bar for a freedom-focused app to be able to support 90-plus-year-old grandmothers. That is incredibly rare. Also, Signal has 100 million users. As far as Freedom Focus apps go, probably one of the best adoption stories we've ever seen. So Signal's awesome. I obviously love Bitcoin. So this is a combination of the two of those. Signal, the app itself, is open source. So effectively what you guys did was you took the open source app and then you forked it and you added a Bitcoin wallet into it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny because for anybody who remembers that Signal have their own cryptocurrency that they launched like 6 years ago called MobileCoin. Yeah, I think they've backed away from that quite a bit over the years. There's almost like no mention of it. You can't find it anywhere. It's not on any exchanges basically anymore. But it was their attempt at solving this problem, and they did it in a way that was Monero-like privacy, but did sync in a way that relied on Intel SGX to preserve user privacy. It was interesting technologically, but launching a new cryptocurrency to do it obviously has a lot of drawbacks as well. It basically just never got off the ground. But the nice thing about that is that all of the underlying building blocks, like in the messaging protocol and Signal, to actually send and receive payments, but do it through the end-to-end encrypted Signal protocol, it's all still there. Even if they're not using it, all of the underlying technology that you need to use Bitcoin in Signal is all there and functional today. So it actually wasn't even as hard as we expected. I think there had been some proof of this with the whole Bitcoin for Signal campaign that happened. It was maybe 18 months ago, which was more driven around eCash and Signal, and that was never going to happen. But the building blocks were already there.
Why was that never going to happen?
I'll reply with the same line that I dropped a meme to Calais, and then he blocked me forever after that, which is who's going to run the mints? Signal cannot run the mints. They are already in such a regulatory, like, rock in a hard place all the time, fighting chat control and all of the EU stuff. There's just constant battles that they're fighting. If they then touch any user money, it becomes a huge nightmare for them from a regulatory perspective. So they don't want to be the custodian, but who do they trust to be the custodian running an eCash mint? Would they trust a random federation? Are they going to choose a federation and they're going to have some business agreement with them? Like, how exactly would that work? eCash specifically, I don't think they would be open to. Maybe they'd be open to something like Spark or Arc, which would be interesting. And that's kind of the part of the exploration that'll happen now with Radar, is there's nothing that we've done that they couldn't also do. And something that could be a fun after effect of Radar would be that they just end up doing Bitcoin on Signal for all of their users and ruin our unique selling point, but bring Bitcoin to 100 plus million monthly active users immediately as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be awesome. I mean, before we jump into the Bitcoin piece, I just want to be really clear to users, potential users here. The whole point of Radar is that is it's a drop-in replacement for Signal. You will have all the similar functionality that you already have in Signal. It uses the same Signal backup process and network. So that's why it requires a phone number, because Signal still to this day requires a phone number. And so if you install Radar and already have a Signal account and set it up, it replaces your existing Signal instance. It's a complete drop-in replacement. And for the record, for what it's worth, because so much of my life revolves around using Signal as a tool, and it's such an incredibly important tool for me. When I've been testing it, I've been testing it with a burner number for that reason, so that it's not like I have all my eggs in this one beta project. I mean, now it's out and released, but at the time it was Seth texting me being like, can you test this thing? And I didn't want to risk it. So keep that in mind. I know some people are confused why that is the case. They wish it wasn't that way, but that's the whole point. The whole point, the reason, I mean, I saw Seth got some commentary about why didn't he use Nostr. I don't think Nostr is a good fit here. I think a better question is why he didn't use SimpleX or something that is like a more open protocol that doesn't require phone numbers. The answer isn't even really worth asking Seth, because the answer is that they wanted the 100 million users. The whole point was that you kind of have this drop-in replacement that automatically gets the network effect. You're not competing against the network effect. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are other reasons too, in that I do like a lot of the approaches taken in the Signal protocol and Signal architecture. Not necessarily more than Simplex or others, but when the target is the average individual and not the hardcore Bitcoiner as like the end goal of who we're reaching with this product. I think it needs to be something closer to Signal than something like Simplex or something like White Noise. Things that have more hardcore features.
I mean, White Noise is just not even usable. And there's also no network effect.
Yeah.
Simplex, I think there could be some argument to having a Simplex client that has a Bitcoin wallet built in. They have many more users than Nostr.
Yeah.
I happen to know their user numbers. But this makes sense to me because, like I said before, I mean, it's 100 million users. You already have the network. But on that point, by the way, Seth, my biggest issue right now, and I know it's publicly out there, but you guys are obviously going to make iterative improvements. Like the cool part here, as opposed to me just pasting a Lightning address into a group chat or a Lightning invoice or a Bitcoin address or something, is that it's all built into the interface. Like I can just seamlessly pay. Yep. There is a bit of confusion in the interface on which users are like regular Signal users versus Radar users. Like obviously at the beginning, 99% of my address book or my Signal contacts are going to be regular Signal users. Mm-hmm. How do you think about that UX of who can I pay and who can't I pay?
It's a good question. We've definitely been thinking about that. I mean, right now, basically just if you're in a chat with a regular Signal user and you hit the Bitcoin button that is for payments, it'll just say that user hasn't activated payments yet.
Yeah, but then it asks me to send a payment or like activation notification. Because I've tested this out with my other Signal account. And then the other person's getting like this weird thing that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, right? that they can actually activate.
Yeah,
that's one of the downsides of under the hood using Signal's approach. Because it to other Signal clients, it just looks like a regular payments request that would use MobileCoin. To Radar, obviously, it understands that it is Lightning. So some work that we're going to do around that is to make it clearer, automatically disable it within chats that the other user doesn't actually have Radar. And then like when you go to the payments tab and you hit send to automatically like down select the contacts you can choose to only ones that actually your phone knows you can pay. So ones that you know are using Radar and you have the right payment info that you need to be able to pay them. So I think there's some simple fixes that we can do there. Out of the gate, the goal was really just getting the payments itself nailed down, but that is a good call out that we need to make it clear when that person is someone that you can't pay. Because that is the downside of importing someone else's network effect is you have users on a different client. So they can't do the same things
amount,
you do.
The overwhelming number of users is on a different client, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I want to go down the Signal hole a little bit and then we'll move into the Bitcoin payments piece. Part of why Signal has been successful is because they have a very, I would say, pragmatic trade-off model. People are upset about phone numbers, but they use it for spam mitigation and network effect because phone numbers are the established network effect that the giants like Telegram and WhatsApp have used to scale to billions. So we already have the phone number piece that just comes with the territory. You got to use it. But the other piece is the apps are open source, but they control the servers. So there's a lot of concern out there. And I think it was my first question to you privately. How are you thinking about that? Basically, I mean, you didn't have to ask permission for forking the app, but you kind of have to ask permission to continuously connect to their servers. Am I right?
I mean, not ask permission as much as hope they don't choose to be.
They can block you, I guess.
I mean, there's nothing like legally, there's nothing they can do to Radar the company. What they can do is they can try to block Radar user agents when your app tries to connect to their servers to get messages, to get contacts, all of that fun stuff. That is something that they can definitely do. So it's not as much asking permission as much as like they shouldn't block that. As long as we're not doing something malicious
past,
or not breaking terms of service. They have, but only in the long-term past, more when Moxie was there and he was very anti-alternate client. And the most popular alt client for the past at least 5 years, Molly, has been around and has not had any issues with them so far. I think the main thing they've been sticklers on lately are like brand usage. So obviously we've been careful about that to make sure that we're not we're not doing anything that could be misconstrued as like RAN impersonation or whatever. But like you said, the apps are open source. The protocol is open. It should be something that's usable long term. But that is the one clear downside of Signal's network is it is a centralized infrastructure. And that does give them the benefit if they can cut off bad actors. If they have someone who's built an alternate client that tries to work around spam prevention and is actually doing something malicious that breaks terms of service, it's a good thing that they can block them. Obviously, if it's someone just building a client that's doing something they don't like, even if it's not against the terms of service and it's not unethical or wrong, obviously that would be a different thing. But I'm definitely hopeful that they'll be open to this. I mean, part of it is we've already donated to them and we're planning on ramping up donations as we grow in users and profitability over the coming months and years. Like, this isn't something where we want to be vampiric and just kind of like sucking the lifeblood out of Signal Foundation. Like, we very much understand how what they've built is the reason that we can build Radar and make it really useful, and how our users do cost them something. So we want to obviously continue to make sure that they can grow and fund, and hopefully this should be a rising tide that lifts all boats. But yeah, there's no way for us to prevent them from blocking Radar users if they really wanted to. And then we'd get to go back to the drawing board, which would be kind of fun because then we could do things our own way. But
that makes sense to me. I mean, I do like just the general concept of building on an open protocol that's maintained by a nonprofit and then donating a portion of profits back mm-hmm. upstream. It's a very sustainable revenue model for the nonprofit itself and the open protocol itself, or I guess yeah. open-ish protocol itself.
I feel like that's kind of how these things should work, is like the protocol should always be owned by an open source foundation, because the protocol has to remain something that's very neutral.
Or nobody
like Bitcoin. But even when you think about like who's building on Bitcoin or who's helping to maintain Bitcoin, they're almost all funded by open nonprofit organizations like OpenSats. Like they're being funded by not for profit entities. And that's a really good thing when you're doing protocol work that has to be very neutral and has to cater to a broad audience. But when you're building on top of that, that's when you really should be giving back in some way. And that's where it's been interesting to see like who is willing to donate as a for-profit company building around Bitcoin, who's willing to donate back to the OpenSats, to the Brinks, to all of these, or who is just building on top of it and benefiting and not willing to give anything back. And I see the same thing. I could see that playing out with this, with Signal. I could see it playing out with Simplex as well, because I know the foundation for the protocol is going to be nonprofit, but then for the actual app is going to be for profit, if I understand it correctly.
Correct.
I think it's a good model, because it says the protocol will remain something anyone can use. We're going to build a profitable business around the specific interface that a user uses and compete in that space while remaining open source. Open source and for profit can go together really, really beautifully. So I think it can be a very good sustainable model that benefits everyone in the long run. Because that is one question with Signal, is how will they be sustainable in the long term if they're purely relying on donations, or maybe this backup subscription that they're doing will be profitable, but there hasn't been a clear path towards that, and they've been operating in the red for a long time now. So it'll be interesting to see.
Do you know? Okay, let's say I import my main into Radar and mm-hmm. Signal bans the app. Am I able to gracefully move back, or am I just shit out of luck?
No, you'd definitely be able to move back. Yeah, the nice thing is, because we're still completely using the Signal network and protocol, like let's say, like I've been using Radar for my primary Signal now for 3-4 months at least, because I have a personal one that I use for friends and family, a personal Signal account, and then I have a public one that I use for business and everything else. And so I've always had to have a second Signal app, which has kind of been a pain in the butt otherwise on iOS. So I've usually used Graphene for my public one and then iOS for that. If I like decide not to use Radar, or I go back to Signal, you can just export a backup from Radar and go back to Signal. The account is completely portable.
Even if the app gets banned, right?
Because they would just be banning the actual network connections for that app. But when you went and logged in from the official Signal app, it wouldn't be filtered at all. I mean
like chat history and stuff, not
yeah, chat history, because that's all local. It's all end-to-end encrypted client side. So as long as you can export that from the Radar app, because they can't ban the app itself. Like they couldn't remove it from your phone, What they could do is make it so that the app can't communicate with Signal servers, but then you could just take it back up, pull that out, import it into Signal, and move on. The other thing, like, obviously, if that happened, we would push an app update that simplified the migration process back to Signal for users. Like, we would make that graceful. Because, again, they're not going to be able to take down our app from the App Store or remove it from your phone. So we would make it as seamless as possible if that were to happen. But no, your account can definitely migrate. I mean, worst case, maybe you couldn't recover your chat messages for some weird reason, but you'd still have the account and you could still get back into everything. But yeah, it would be quite portable and easy to move back and forth. And you already can do that today.
Makes sense. Okay, kind of a tangent. We were talking about not using the Signal branding.
Uh-huh.
Why Radar?
There's not like a crazy story behind the name. We went back and forth on a lot of different options and just really wanted something that was like memorable but optimistic, easy to say in other languages. It's a palindrome, which is always a win when you're naming something. Same forwards and backwards. And it let us do some really fun things with iconography and like visual design. Like, you'll notice throughout, obviously, the icon itself, but if you go to the website radar.chat, like, you'll see that we use the kind of the radar sweeping motif, pings, that kind of thing all throughout. So it's more that it's a fun brand. I mean, similar to Cake, like Cake Wallet, obviously Cake doesn't mean anything more than Cake. It's just supposed to be fun. And it was created in the days when everything was a weird, like Bread Wallet or Bake Wallet or all these stupid names. And the same is kind of an approach we're taking to Radar, where we didn't want it to be this like super crypto anarchist, dark undertones feeling app or brand. We very much wanted it to feel optimistic and like a place where you can just do like everyday stuff. It's not just about being a super, super shadowy hacker or something. It's something that's for average people. Because like I said, like the vision for this is not that it's just another Bitcoin wallet or that it's not just the hardcore Signal client. The vision is that people who just already want to use Signal, they also want to send and receive money directly in it. And we can make that easier than it would be otherwise by using Bitcoin under the hood. We can make that easier to on-ramp and off-ramp. We can make that easier to actually send and receive those payments and not require them to give up ID or other things like that. But yeah.
I feel like I have to mention, I like the name Radar. I think it's clean, it's catchy, easy to remember. The domain's easy. Radar.chat is a good domain. Mm-hmm. The branding's cool. But someone did reply to one of my posts about it. And I was like, are you telling me they named it after the technology that enables people to track and locate you? which, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, if you're a plane or a ship, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure Radar is used to track individual people. Maybe he means Stingray or something, but it's true. I was actually thinking about that. There's another app that I think he works at Ocean. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he made something called Sonar and just released it like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So we were obviously keeping an eye on it as we were prepping for Radar launch. He released it called Sonar. He has a lot of the same like visual motifs that we already had lined up, but his is BitChat based. So he built it around BitChat and then used the Liquid.
It's also a chat
app
too.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. But it's meant more for the Bluetooth mesh plus the ability to go over the internet via Noster. So again, a more hardcore use case, but I thought that was funny. And like the fittingness of Sonar being something you use underwater when you're in stealth mode and more like the shadowy side, and it's the thing that's using Noster and BitChat, and then we're the thing that's scanning above ground and looking for things up, like looking up is an interesting, it fit well together, even though we were just building in parallel and had no idea that was coming out.
Fair enough. Okay, Bitcoin. One of my critiques, I love Cake Wallet. I think Cake Wallet's great. I've gotten some, I don't know. I love Cake Wallet. I think it's awesome. My biggest issue, and I think it's one of the better Bitcoin mobile wallets out there. You guys are always trying to support the latest and greatest tech, particularly on the privacy side. But probably one of the biggest critiques of Cake Wallet is that it's got so many different features that it's quite complicated. Or maybe complicated is the wrong word, but there's a lot of things going on in Cake Wallet.
Yeah.
Not only because you guys support a bunch of shitcoins on Cake, but also because even on the Bitcoin side, there's a lot of things going on the Bitcoin side. I've noticed with Radar, you went much simpler. And specifically, it's just one wallet, one type of wallet, and you chose Spark as the backend for that with a Lightning focus. Can we, like, what is the thought process there? How are you guys thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it goes back to the target user that I mentioned earlier. Like, I don't want this to be another wallet. Like, I mean, in building Cake Wallet, like, we've seen massive growth. I think there's still tons and tons of room for growth, but just kind of game planning out, like, how many people in the world actually want a cryptocurrency wallet, a Bitcoin wallet that does all of these things and that they're going to use in daily life, versus how many people are already chatting and they want a way to be able to send value easily. And I think there's this like common feeling when you've been in the Bitcoin space for a long time of like, I got to like jam Bitcoin into everything or find like, how am I going to get Bitcoin out there and make everything about Bitcoin rather than figuring out like, where does Bitcoin just solve something regular people need? And we can kind of Trojan horse it into their lives. And that's more how I view Radar. So I think for Radar, like the long term, I would be very happy if we got to a place where the majority of our users were not Bitcoiners in the sense that they weren't necessarily coming to Radar because they're already stacking sats or they already have a hardware wallet or whatever, but rather they're people who are just there because friends and family are there and they want that ability to send and receive value. And the fact that they're using Bitcoin under the hood acts as kind of an orange pill moment for them where they can wake up to that and then they realize, like, this is super cool how easy this is, the accountless nature, like the fact that I don't have to do anything for this, I don't have to create email address, like the simplicity of the actual value transfer here and win them over that way. That's a lot more of the vision here. So like for me, it's not as much about building out all the bells and whistles when it comes to what Bitcoin can possibly do in Radar. Like that's why Cake Wallet exists. We can do the more complex stuff, the silent payments, the pay joins, the fancy things there for the more advanced users. And Radar is more about how do we do the bare minimum and make it as stupid simple as possible, where it literally is just in a chat, tap the Bitcoin logo, enter an amount, enter a comment if you want, and hit send. And that's all you need to do to send Bitcoin.
And specifically here, I mean, Cake Wallet has hardware wallet support. It was built out with on-chain focus. It has silent payments for on-chain if you want. This offers none of that. I mean, this is purely Lightning only. Was that a deliberate decision or?
Yeah, it was definitely a deliberate decision. I mean, it's kind of the same question that I expected to get a lot more from Monero people of like, why not Monero under the hood when looking at this? But it's the same as even like on-chain Bitcoin or more of some of the more complex Bitcoin stuff where to make this something that's tenable for a regular person, the user experience has to be like almost entirely frictionless. And even on-chain Bitcoin, while it can be simple in how it works, the timing constraints and other things they don't feel good when you're using something like a messenger. Now, you could just assume zero conf, and obviously there are some ways to kind of pretend that it's fine. But the reason for being Lightning only, and like you mentioned, it's using Spark. Normally it is Spark to Spark payments, but can make Lightning payments internally and externally.
Well, deposits and withdrawals if you're at a Square merchant or something.
Yeah.
But I noticed like Spark supports sending and receiving on chain. And I noticed you guys have that disabled. You're just doing Lightning only.
So you do have the ability to receive on chain. We wanted to keep that for deposits, especially because for those users who are more hardcore, the best trust model in Spark comes when you deposit funds from on chain into Spark. So you can do that. If you go to the receive or the add funds, and then you can switch the toggle to on chain. That is possible. Sending, yeah, we're only focusing on Lightning. Again, because this isn't a wallet. It's not the goal here that you would be using this for lots of external Bitcoin only kind of things. The goal here is that you need a way to get money in. And you need a way to send and receive money within the system. And it needs to be very frictionless. And because Lightning has become the interoperability layer, all we really need to allow those users to interface with anyone else in the Bitcoin space is Lightning. And so that has greatly simplified things where we can use Spark under the hood, which gives us the simplicity, super fast, super easy, super cheap, and then Lightning whenever we need interoperability. And then potentially some other things down the line in terms of stable balances. But yeah, I think it needed to be stupid simple in terms of how we approached it. It was very intentional.
Why did you choose Spark as the backend?
pretty much the same reasons as Cake. I know we talked about this a bit on CD before when we chatted last, but the primary reason is still that the UX on Spark is slightly better than Arc for the same trust model. And then the secondary reason is that stablecoins on Spark, I think, will be a particularly good fit for Radar. Again, where we're talking normal people, they probably would want a stable balance over a volatile Bitcoin balance, but we want the ability to give the option for both and let people move between the two at a tap as well. So Spark does enable that in a way that Arcade technically could allow, Second won't allow right now on the Arc side. Those are the primary two reasons. I know that there's always backlash from hardcore Bitcoiners on some of the drawbacks within Spark, but they're almost never compared evenly with the drawbacks on Arc. And so again, when doing the research on this, it seemed like the right fit to continue using Spark, which we were already comfortable with. I think Arc's getting there. I could see a world where this could work really well on Arcade maybe in 6 months or something like that. But we also didn't want to wait to launch this until then, with the target demographic not being the hardcore Bitcoin user and us being comfortable with the trust trade-offs and the trust model of Spark compared to what Arc is today, at least.
I mean, I know you have done a bigger deep dive on the trade-off models of Spark and Arc, specifically in implementing them in product, than most people have. I mean, to the point where, I mean, you mentioned the SimpleX Foundation earlier. I mean, after I had Evgeny on, the founder of SimpleX, he asked me to be one of the founding board members of the SimpleX Foundation. And when I was talking to him about potential Bitcoin integration, I literally sent him your write-up on the two of them. It's like it's the write-up to read, at least at first, when you're first diving in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have a better understanding of the trust model of Spark. Is it really? My understanding is that the Arc trust model requires less trust in the operator than Spark. Is that not the case?
It's not the case for the average user. The complication is because Arc's best case trust model is better than Spark's. In Arc, because you have the ability to join around and get finality to get the guarantee that no one else can double spend funds, it looks better on paper. But the problem is the actual process of joining rounds is not something that most users, at least in this type of target demographic, a mobile only user who doesn't have an always online server, it's not something that most of those people are going to do. And you'll see this in both the Arcade and the second approaches, where they're using delegates or Hark signers, where they're essentially offloading the VTXO refresh, but they can't actually get finality for their users. Because the process of actually joining the round, just like, I mean, Samurai Wallet, why didn't they launch Whirlpool on iOS? Because background coin join on iOS is essentially impossible because of the constraints that Apple applies. Unless you can force a user to open the app regularly, you can't guarantee any execution time in the background. And so the hardcore, like the best case security model in Arc will not be something that regular mobile only users can achieve. And so you fall back to the basic security model, which in Arc is essentially a one-of-one trust model, because the Arc service provider is the only one who has to do something to double spend funds. In the Spark trust model, it's right now one of three, will be more as they add more Spark operators, where if any of those operators are honest, your funds cannot be stolen.
Is the three operators public?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Lightspark, Flashnet, who is
David Marcus's son.
Yeah, it's his son. Yeah. And then Breeze is the third one.
Is not related to the Marcuses.
He is not. No, he's not. Yeah, that was like, that's the biggest thing for me that it often gets lost in the shuffle, like explaining all the technicalities, is if you use Arc in the most hardcore way, it is absolutely a better trust model than Spark. When you're talking mobile only, that trust model is basically never achievable unless we got covenants in Bitcoin. And because of that, you fall back to the base level security model, where at least to me, and I haven't seen anybody refute this, Spark's trust model is slightly better, but you also get a better UX because you don't have to worry about VTXO expiry. You don't have to worry about delegating that refresh off to someone else. It's a much simpler dev experience at the same time. And I can say this as somebody who, like, I was really hardcore about Arc. And specifically, I really wanted us to do Arcade before I did the deep dive. Because I, like, ideologically, I align much more with the Arc folks. I love the guys at Second. But when you actually dig into what it looks like for a real user, the trust models are at worst the same. At best, Spark is actually a little bit better for the average mobile-only user.
I mean, that's from a security point of view. What about from a privacy point of view?
They're both equally.
The operator still is seeing all your transactions, basically, right?
Yeah. In theory, both could provide good privacy, even from the operator. In practice, neither do right now. So right now, both have the same trust assumption, which is basically, I have good privacy from outside observers as long as the operator does not publish my transaction details.
But the operator sees your transaction graph.
Yeah. Yeah, because in both Arc and Spark, you're co-signing transactions with the operator. So they necessarily see all of the transaction details in every transaction that happens within them. Whether or not they choose to publish it is really the only privacy toggle that you have within both systems. Within Spark now, that's been the default in CakeWallet from the day we launched. We obviously weren't going to launch without disabling that transaction being shared with the world. And then I can't remember where Arcade and Second landed. I believe Second aren't publishing transaction data, and I believe Arcade are publishing transaction data, but it's just up to each of them what they do. So
what about, so you're trusting the operator with your transaction graph. It sounds like the implementation is the same. Is the user trusting Cake or Radar operators with the transaction graph too, or is it just the Spark operators?
No, and that's one of the nice things and like why I kind of like that we're not running the messaging infrastructure or the payments infrastructure is there is no single party who has insight into either side. So like Signal, obviously, they would know your phone number, potentially your username. They don't know anything about your contacts or your messages. Yay, end-to-end encryption. Spark, the entity, would know that there are some transactions happening. They don't know that they're even related to Radar or Signal, and they have no way to tie them to your phone number, to your username, anything like that. So you'll see there's already been some tweets that are like, why would you tie your phone number to your transaction details? That's just simply not how this works. Neither Signal nor LightSpark can say this phone number is sending these transactions. They're not in any way tied to that. And because of the end-to-end encryption and the Signal protocol, Signal has absolutely zero visibility into this. They don't even know that there's payments happening, much less that they are payments over Bitcoin and not mobile coin or something else, which is an awesome piece of this, is because of the great end-to-end encryption they've built. We can build Bitcoin into their system in a way that they still don't get visibility into, which is good for them and good for users.
Awesome. On that note, I saw someone commenting on the differences between the Signal privacy policy and the Radar privacy policy. How should users think about that?
Yeah, I noticed there were a couple things that weren't quite correct in our privacy policy. So I need to tweak it a little bit because it mentioned some things about like running your own node and stuff that were just a thing that we must not have caught in our last review pass. So
like a leftover from CakeWallet?
Yeah. Because obviously some of the privacy policy is still the same, but it's not exactly the same. So I do need to clean that up a little bit as well. So I'll be reviewing that. But basically, the TLDR for any user is, at Radar, we don't get any analytics on your usage unless you choose to submit debug logs and send them to our support, which you would be choosing to do that. We don't get any information about your payments. Only the Spark entity and Spark operators have any visibility into that. And we don't get any information about your messages. We never see your IP. We never have any visibility into that. That's actually much less exposure than you would have with CakeWallet. Like with CakeWallet, obviously, normally we're running the node infrastructure for using Bitcoin on chain or Monero or whatever. So theoretically, we would see your IP and we could see which transactions are broadcast from which IP address. Obviously, we don't log those or anything like that, but we could have more insight from the CakeWallet perspective. Radar, we have even less there. So it's very limited. And basically, you should go look at the Signal privacy policy if you want to see more about the messaging stuff and then look at ours to focus more on the payment side.
Makes sense. So on the payment side, obviously you have user-to-user payments, which has a very clean UX. I think you guys did a really good job with that. There's a Bitcoin wallet tab effectively on the bottom for you to see your wallet and like your transaction history there. For external payments, you give users the ability to create a Lightning address at radar.cache, which is separate from your Signal username. That's a completely different username and namespace. And then there's a separate backup scheme, which is effectively a seed, which presumably a user could export and import into any other Spark wallet. I guess my question is that Lightning address tied to the Signal account, or is it tied to the seed backup?
It's tied to the seed. So if you do have like a custom one that you love, you need to make sure that you back up the seed just in case. One thing to make clear here is, and I think it's a really good product decision, but people should be aware of, is this: your seed actually gets backed up to your Signal account encrypted. So Signal themselves can't access it. But as long as you can restore your Signal account into Radar, you get all your funds back. You don't have to have the seed phrase.
Oh, that's nice.
Which the trust model there just, to me, makes a ton of sense. If somebody has your Signal account, that also means they have your phone number, access to your phone number, and they know your PIN code. You have bigger problems at that point than the 50,000 sats or whatever that you have in Radar.
It's a spending wallet.
Yeah, it's a spending wallet. And you already have good protections on the Signal account itself. So you don't normally need to back up your seed phrase. Really, it's just an extra escape hatch just in case something gets messed up, or who knows, if Signal freaks out and you delete your app, you would still have the ability to recover funds. It's really just a fail-safe. So you can back up that 12-word seed phrase. And like you said, you can import it into any Spark-compatible wallet, Cake wallet, et cetera. They'd all work. And that's one of the really nice things about these open standards is you're not at all locked into Radar. You could leave at any time with that seed phrase and have your funds come with you. But yeah, for most people, you don't even need to worry about that, but it's always there and available, and you'll get a prompt to do it once you receive funds for the first time.
Awesome. Yeah. So is that backup separate from encrypted chat backups?
Yeah. Yeah. It's only the payment side. Obviously,
on the
chat backup side, like, we're just doing the normal Signal stuff right now.
Is that powered by Signal? Like, it popped up on my app, like, encrypted Radar chat backups, which I think is a paid feature on Signal regular.
They have a free tier and a paid tier.
So is that just using their free tier?
You can do the free tier and keep using that. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to start donating to Signal before we even launched, because obviously if people are using the free tier quite often, then technically they're costing Signal, and we don't want to add any cost burden to Signal. We want to make them more sustainable. You can't do the pro tier in Radar because for some reason they've locked pro tier payments to their app bundle ID. So you can't, and no alternate client can do the pro.
What if you pay for pro tier in the regular Signal app and then migrate over? Does it carry over? No.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it's basically like a license check failure if you try to do that, which is odd. I don't know why they chose that, because like, it, very intentionally, all the donations, links and everything in the app, they go to Signal. Like, we don't want you donating to us. We would love for that pro paid backup plan to continue going to Signal. But the way that they've done it, it's a server-side lock that you can only do it from the app bundle ID that Signal itself has. So that won't work today. I mean, there's some really simple ways to replace that. Like, we're already doing, obviously, you have a private key, you have a recovery key. You could just do the backups in iCloud Drive and Google Drive. They're encrypted. It doesn't really matter where they're going, and we can do that for free. And every user who's an Apple or Google user has some storage space, and this requires very little. So quite likely, we'll just do something simple like that and make sure it's encrypted well, obviously, before it's dumped into iCloud Drive or Google Drive. But we'll see long-term about that. Obviously, we want to retain compatibility as much as we can with Signal over the long run, while also theoretically making this a little bit more portable, a little less locked down compared to Signals.
Makes sense. I'm kind of pulling us back a tiny bit on the Spark trade-offs, because I forgot to bring it up. Grubels, who now works at Second, which is one of the two main Arc implementations, has been mentioning concerns over Spark's unilateral exit. This idea that a user can leave the system if without Spark's permission. Obviously, it's not unilateral exit. There's no flow for it in, I believe, Radar or Cake Wallet. How do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something that we want to have. It hasn't existed in the Spark SDK and thus the Breeze SDK yet. So that's the main thing that we've been waiting on. It does exist as a separate CLI app. So if if Spark were to suddenly say, like, X user can no longer transact within Spark, you can go to the CLI app and it will work to let you exit with your funds. The one call out that Grubel's made, which was a good call out, is that that still relies on you being able to reach the Spark server, one of the Spark operators. You don't have to reach all of them. Specifically, you wouldn't have to, like, if, let's say, LightSpark and FlashNet were censoring you, but not Breeze, you could still use Breeze Spark operator to recover your leap state. But you basically, you need the information about your leaves, basically like the UTXOs of Spark, to be able to make that unilateral exit. And those aren't cached locally in any wallet today. So that's the one dependency that exists right now. There's already a draft PR that's being worked on around unilateral exit being added into the Breeze SDK, which then would just be immediately available within Radar and Cake Wallet. It's definitely a shortcoming. Quite honestly, I've been very frustrated that it has taken a lot longer than I was told originally, and not to throw Breeze or Spark under the bus, but that was one thing that I was expecting to be live by the time that we went live with Lightning and Cake, and we're now 4 months past that and it's still not live. Right. So obviously I've been pressuring them behind the scenes to get that in, because that is the last big trust model drawback. Like I said, you still can unilaterally exit today with the CLI tool. But obviously, the best case scenario would be that you can do it directly in the app you're already using.
So would you need the seed and the CLI tool, and you just import the seed into it? But so on the leaves piece, is it impractical to cache this stuff locally? I mean, I my understanding is it's after every transaction is basically when you would need an update. Or
yeah,
is that
there's just no reason to do it right now. When you can unilaterally exit, obviously you would need to do that. So that will be part of the update, is that you have all of the leaf states stored locally. It's not a problem long term. Like, it's not that much storage or anything like that.
So it is practical for a mobile user to be caching this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be very possible for mobile. Obviously, the actual unilateral exit will take a long time. I think that's something a lot of people don't think about, is there's a time lock that's associated with every unilateral exit, and they are relatively costly when it comes to fees. It depends widely based on the size of your leaves, the timing, the depth of the trees. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into calculating the costs. But yeah, it'll definitely be possible in mobile, and basically it would just be a one-time emergency I want out button, and then it'll craft all the transactions and broadcast them. But you'll have to wait a while before they would actually be spendable because of the time locks that are associated with them. I think something like 2 weeks-ish. But yeah, if it's an emergency exit, you don't really care. You just want to get your money back.
That makes sense. I mean, while we're on the topic of trade-offs between these different systems, I mean, the other option that a bunch of wallets chose, Bull Bitcoin being one of them, Aqua, Mana, is using Liquid as basically the back end.
Mm-hmm.
What is your opinion on that?
I mean, to me, both Spark and Arc kind of obsolete Liquid. Liquid is just it's a pure multi-sig custodian. The only real advantage to Liquid is that there is some base privacy, because you can do confidential amounts and confidential tokens, which is a nice add. But
is it not significantly better privacy? I mean, you're the privacy guy.
It would be if anyone actually used it.
Well, I mean, it's a chicken and an egg, right? I think because of Bull Bitcoin, there's probably, and Aqua, there's probably more Bitcoin, there's more Liquid users than we've ever seen before. I mean, it's a low bar, but more Liquid users than we've ever seen before.
There are dozens of us. Yeah. I mean, yes, technically. The hard part is you start to get into the realm of how long can this thing go on if it does gain very broad adoption. Because when you do mix privacy with custody, you're kind of the ultimate in the crosshairs of every regulator in the world. So I would be concerned long term what that would look like for Liquid. Now, obviously, the nice thing about them having a very large federation is that it would be very, like, practically difficult to shut them down if they were to actually fight back and try not to be shut down. But they're also businesses that are the federation members. And if the countries where they're a business pressure them, they're not going to, I don't think they'd destroy their business for your Liquid Bitcoin. Yeah, I mean, I love the privacy it brings. It, to me, just has, it's like a better version of eCash in terms of custody, where, like, it's a better custody model. It's more like Fediments, has reasonably good privacy. But I think that Spark and Arc can take clear, meaningful steps to become similarly private. And so I think that's much more interesting, because if we can bring the better trust models of Spark and Arc with good privacy. I think that'd be a better world. Arc, obviously, you can do a lot of the Bitcoin privacy stuff that already exists on chain within Arc. It's like you could have very large coin join rounds that are every minute or whatever. Within Arc, you can do some blinded credential stuff within Arc. Spark, you can do blind signing, which would give complete privacy from the operator, which would be massive.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I hope so. There's been some signs that Spark is going to continue implementing more privacy into their solution. Blind signing obviously is so complete that I would guess it probably wouldn't happen in LightSpark Spark entity, but it would raise the question of, will someone start another Spark entity that does blind signing? Technologically, it's quite possible. And if someone did start that, it would be an interesting competitive edge for them of providing the private alternative with all of the same trust model benefits of Spark. I would doubt that that will come to LightSpark Spark entity, unfortunately, but I'm hopeful.
I presume you'd be open to moving either to different Spark operators or potentially even Arc,
yeah,
for Radar users and Cake Wallet users, like given improvements or whatnot.
For sure. Yeah. And one of the really nice things about all these is, like, let's say Spark goes nuts or Arc becomes like a perfect privacy protocol, gets built on top of Arc and is usable. They all speak Lightning, so actually transitioning users between them would be quite trivial. You just make a Lightning balance, sweep the balance out of Spark, and move on with your life. You wouldn't have to do anything super complex. You're not talking swapping cryptocurrencies or something like this. So I'm definitely open to that, and something I've always been open to is, we'll use the best technology at the moment. Right now, I think that's Spark. Tomorrow, it could be Arc. We'll see. And in this case, specifically with Radar, I think it has a little bit of a different balance than something like Cake Wallet. Cake Wallet, obviously, we're building for a little bit more hardcore user who's a little bit shifted more that way, whereas Radar, I more want it to be something that's very achievable for the average person who's not as like super hardcore self-custody, but still give them self-custody. And that's where I think Spark fits really well right now as well. But yeah, we'll definitely see where it plays out.
Makes sense. You mentioned earlier USD tokens. I think you call them stable balances. Is that the plan? Is the plan to make this Bitcoin and USD tokens, and that's that on the wallet side and the payment side?
Yeah, I mean, definitely no other like cryptocurrencies planned. I don't think there would be any reason to add other cryptocurrencies or other chains. The only reason we would do stablecoins, and it is something that I think we will do, is, again, just for that user who is not a hardcore Bitcoiner but just wants a stable balance, to be able to offer that and offer the ability to swap between the two at a tap really quickly for almost no fees is really nice. And they still have self-custody over the keys. Obviously, stablecoins introduce other trust assumptions where, depending on the stablecoin, they can be frozen.
They often are.
Yeah, they often are. So there are caveats with that, and obviously we would inform users of that. The benefit there for most people who we envision using Radar long-term to make it feel much more like a regular payments app rather than this hardcore Bitcoin thing, I think is an ideal crossover. So that is the vision, that it will be either Bitcoin denominated or stable balance, and you can choose what you want to do, and it'll be all of your balance in one or the other. Again, not trying to be a wallet where you're choosing how much of each you have or anything like that. If you want that, come... That kind
Wait,
of
so you wouldn't have
you
both.
Somewhere else.
You wouldn't have both in the same wallet.
So you would be able to choose, but you couldn't have both at the same time. So your balance would be either entirely in stablecoins or entirely in Bitcoin.
Why?
Simplicity.
But just isn't so that how most people interact with their daily lives? I mean, at least right now, is like they have dollars and Bitcoin.
Yes, but they're also two very disparate things. Like when you're thinking through a product and you're thinking, how is a user going to see this and decide which one they want to use at the given time? Like, why would a user keep some of their balance in Radar in stablecoins and not all of it, or some of it in Bitcoin and not all of it, rather than just all or nothing? Again, thinking this outside of the lens of, this isn't your your wallet. Like if you're a Bitcoiner, right, you're going to have another wallet. You're going to have something like CakeWallet lets you do stable coins and Bitcoin and Monero, whatever. Radar is specifically, how do I want to handle the money I'm using for payments within Radar? Not how do I want to handle my whole checking account or something like that.
In this situation, if I'm Bitcoin and I send a payment to someone who's dollars, it would just automatically on the fly just do the swap. They'd receive dollars and vice versa. If they send me dollars, I'd receive Bitcoin.
Yep. Yeah, but just gets converted on the fly. There's essentially an AMM, like a swap on Spark called FlashNet that does the conversion.
That's David Sun's company. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So USD tokens are live on Spark right now?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been live for quite a while. There's one called USDB, which is the primary one right now. And it works well. Obviously, the adoption compared to like USDT or something is minuscule. But in this specific scenario where the goal is not paying any other crypto user, it's paying other Radar users. It doesn't really matter as much the actual reach of that stablecoin. All that matters, obviously, is the security. Like it needs to be properly backed and run well. And this one's backed by a huge stablecoin company called Braille.
Braille with an R?
Yeah. Yeah. Braille.
Oh, with a B.
Yeah. Yeah. Braille. Wow. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, like how blind people read.
But not spelled that way.
Got it. Fair enough. Okay. So what about, in USD token land, like the king is a Tether on Tron, and maybe the king in the Western world among big tech folks is like USDC on Base.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think, yeah, right. It's really great. It's like that, what is it, the meme where it's like, oh, we can solve the standards problem by creating a new standard. Obviously, your average user who's using your average dollar user, which if you want to talk about network effects, is obviously the largest network effect of currencies right now, is probably interacting with either Tron on Tether or USDC on Base. How do you think about that flow? Are you going to give them a deposit and withdrawal flow that goes to those chains, or are they can only get out with Bitcoin, or how does that look?
Yeah, I have definitely thought about that. The plan is to do it similar to how we do AnyPay and CakeWallet, where, again, like I want to be wary because I don't want Radar to become a fully featured wallet app. It doesn't need to be that, and it right. will inevitably tend to be over-engineered and bloated if we do that. So trying to keep it very limited in scope. So using one provider, the goal is to allow you to add funds from any stablecoin into it, and it will automatically be converted into Bitcoin on Spark and send to any stablecoin on any chain. Again, not trying to do everything. Keep it very straightforward.
You won't get like a million swap providers like you do on Cake or whatever.
Yeah, no. Obviously on Cake, we want users to have max optionality. That's a very different target audience. In Radar, it needs to be very simple and very clean. So that will be the approach. And the nice thing is like that's very possible with Spark. There's already good swap providers that can do all of that natively on Spark. So that will be the long-term plan because like I see less of a need for the sending. Like, I don't think there's going to be that much of a use case for sending out of Radar. Like, it's a wallet app, but adding funds, I could definitely see it. If you're already a crypto user at all, I want to be able to onboard you, even if you don't have Bitcoin Lightning. Because, I mean, honestly, let's be honest, the number of people who have stable coins in a crypto wallet versus the number of people who have Bitcoin in a Lightning wallet is...
Is there going to be like different. Apple Pay to add funds or...
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Again,
is that the main monetization scheme for Radar as a company? Is the swaps in and out basically?
Yeah, the initial idea is the on and off ramping. Obviously that one's straightforward. The swaps between currencies, the swaps between Bitcoin and stablecoins as people go back and forth, taking a small cut of the fees there. That's the plan at this point. There's some other stuff we're exploring around stablecoins that could be a good long-term sustainability play, but that's still too early in discovery to kind of talk more details about it. But yeah, those are the straightforward ones, and specifically the swapping crypto ones is the one that's been really effective for Cake and would be fitting here for the tier one audience, but more long term when we're talking people who are not hardcore Bitcoiners, it's going to be more the on and off ramping, just topping up your balance and taking a small cut of that will be the game plan.
And it's not transaction fee. Are you going to take a cut of transaction fees between users?
No. The only fee there is just the base Spark fee, which is 2 sats.
Is that hard coded?
It is. Yeah. Don't ask me why it's 2 sats. It's very interesting.
What's double 1 sat?
It is.
So just every Spark transaction is a 2 sat fee regardless of amount.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yep.
They were feeless for a while, just like Arcade and Second R, but they're all going to have fees at some point, obviously. So yeah, it's just a flat 2 sat fee. Obviously, if you're making a Lightning payment, then you also have whatever the routing fee is.
And who runs that node? Does Spark run that node?
The Lightning service provider side?
Yeah.
Yeah, LightSpark runs it.
And is that always going to be, is that the plan? Like, is it just always going to be LightSpark as the sole LSP of the main Spark?
No, the plan instance? Is to have more. I've been talking to them about it because, like, I would love Bolts to be another provider there. They're already doing a fantastic job on the Arcade side.
And the Liquid side.
And I love their team.
All the Liquid wallets, basically, their dependency is Bolts.
Yeah, they live or die by Bolts. Yeah. So that is definitely, it's going to happen. The Spark guys have been keeping it limited initially while they just get everything really stable. But I think we're getting to that point. I was just talking to them in Vegas, actually, about that. And they think they're very close to being able to start onboarding more LSPs as well as more Spark operators to keep growing that decentralization side of things. Technically, anyone can be an LSP. It would just be who are the default available providers within the SDK. But anyone can join Spark. It's an open permissionless network. So anyone could do it today, but obviously it'd be easier if you were actually a default provider in the SDKs that were available. So I'm hoping
they basically take Spark sats and then send out payments on Lightning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all atomic swaps. So anyone could do that. And it is the swap part of it is trustless as well, which is a really nice piece of that. That's possible within Spark and within Arc.
It's interesting with Spark because a lot of the companies that I've seen, projects I've seen that have implemented it, part of the reason they implemented it is because they kind of wanted to wipe their hands of any kind of agency over users. So there hasn't really been that much demand for, my company is implementing Spark. Can I run the Lightning node? Because like part of the advantage of it is like David Marcus deals with your regulatory concerns and all of your technical concerns. It's like he just handles all the hard stuff.
We just don't have to worry about it. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, awesome. Seth, I think this is a great conversation. To the freaks at home, you're not seeing any video, so you're not aware that Seth has a debilitating sickness that he's recovering from. So he's been a real trooper. We were supposed to originally record yesterday and it got pushed to today, but he's visibly sick right now. Seth, is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to mention to the freaks before we wrap here?
No, I think those are the biggest things. Just go check out radar.chat, at radarchat on X, and Noster. Just at radar on Noster, even though Noster's weird. So you'll need the NPub, and I'm not going to read that out to you. But we are on Noster as well. Though I think that's the primary thing. Honestly, I just love people to give it a try. The best user experience is using it instead of Signal, like moving your account into Radar from Signal. Like I said, that's how I've been doing it for months, and now thousands of people are using it. It's been a productive launch day. Launched 24 hours, I guess, now. But yeah, give it a try. It's pretty badass once you get the chance to actually just send sats in a chat and not think about it. It's smooth. So we're excited to grow from here. Only getting started. Thanks for the combo. Thanks for putting up with my my stuffy voice. I'm sorry to all the listeners dealing with this very high quality stuffy voice. So
love it. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for building Radar and Cake. I absolutely love it. Freaks, thank you to all who support the show. As always, all the relevant links are SyllaDispatch.com. It's available in every podcast app. You can search Scylla Dispatch in your favorite podcast app. Share it with friends and family. I have a great show lined up for next week. It's going to be No Good Node, who's one of my favorite Bitcoin artists. He just released a portfolio book that I have in front of me. It's fantastic. So that'll be a fun conversation. He actually is the one who made my background art and my album art and everything like that. I love his style. I think it's fucking fantastic. And then I have some great shows lined up after that. So stay tuned for that. Love you all. Stay humble, stack sats. Peace.